RadioInfluence.com.
Welcome to the July 4th edition of the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, this is the interview edition of the show. I have got one interview for you here on this episode. You're going to hear from a man that is going to make his Bellator debut come up here on July the 16th as he is going to kick off the main card of Bellator 262. That is Travis Davis. I've had Travis on the podcast in the past. He is going to be taking on Johnny Eblen in a middleweight matchup. Had a chance to talk to Travis about this matchup, how it all came together for him, how long he's actually known about this one. This fight just got announced on Thursday, but a little spoiler alert, he's known for a couple weeks now. So he tells a great story about even he was sometimes wondering when the fight was going to get announced. Great conversation. Of course, he actually was a part of the PFL bubble as he was a training partner of Dan Spahn, and he talked a little bit about that PFL bubble. We also talked a little bit about Clarissa Shields because he said he did have a chance to talk to Clarissa Shields. Of course, he is coming off a boxing win, which is something that I've talked with Travis before in the past about the MMA and boxing. So great conversation that I had with him. That conversation here momentarily here on the MMA Report Podcast. Of course, as always, if you have not done so in the past and you like what you're hearing here on the podcast, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcasting platform. Before we get to the interview, I do want to let you know that on next Sunday's edition of the podcast, the July 11th episode, I am scheduled to be joined by three Bellator 262 fighters. Was working with Bellator earlier today to get those ones locked in. So scheduled up here on the podcast will be Linton Vassell. Of course, they're now at heavyweight. He's going to be taking on Marcelo Guam. Also, Johnny Eblen, who's going to be taking on Travis Davis. He's scheduled to be on the show next week. And Cody Law, also scheduled to be on the show. Of course, I've talked about Cody Law in the past, definitely a guy to pay attention to there. Of course, already 3-0 in his MMA career. So let's get to the conversation that I had with Travis Davis. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man we've had on the show. And I remember last time we talked, you know, we were talking about the future. You talked about having a boxing matchup, which did happen. And you mentioned like, hey, I'm open to all opportunities. Well, that opportunity came here, sitting here in the office, and I get the press release from Bellator that you're going to be kicking off the main card here on the 16th there at the Mohegan Sun. Travis, I mean, first off, how did this one come together?
So I was actually training for I had a fight scheduled for July 24th. Jason messaged me and he goes, hey, you interested in fighting July 16th? He said Eblen. I didn't even know who the guy was. He goes, Eblen at 185. And I was like, well, I'm already training. You know, I was getting my weight down for 185 anyways. You know, my last couple fights have been at, catch weights, and one was at 200, one was at 195. So I was like already working my way down back to 185. So I called my coach and said, hey, are we good to go to Connecticut July 17th or 16th? And he was like, yeah, I think I can do that. And I was like, perfect.
You go from basically one bubble to another bubble. You know, yeah. I mean, because Bellator's still kind of doing that, the bubble thing. I mean, like, we talked about that, of, you know, what you're going to have to do. I want to say you spent 31 days in the bubble.
Oh, yeah, 31 long days in the bubble with my training partner. It was an experience, to say the least. The second visit was much better. They, you know, the first one we went there, we were there for 19 days. So the second time we went back, we were only there for 12. So the shorter time frame helped out a lot. But when we were there the first time, me and Tom Lawler and a couple other guys that were there, we were like, hey, you know, it'd been nice if you guys would have set up like a game room, like some PlayStations or ping pong or anything that, you know, could take our minds off the fact that we're sitting in a hotel room for 19 days. And all we can do is train, eat hotel food, or order out. And, so last time we came, they had PS5s, they had ping pong. And, so clearly they listened to some of the fighters and the complaints, I guess, and they made some changes. So the second bubble was much better than the first.
Yeah, you know, the craziest thing about the PFL bubble was I was talking to Tyler Diamond about it. And he was talking about, he's like, you know, hey, you know, I've trained with Lance in the past, you know, and Lazar Stojadinovic, who trains with Lance, and he goes, you know, we all kind of ended up just training together. He goes, even though we all looked at each other and go, well, we could fight each other at some point. And that'd be kind of, did you and the team kind of have that similar situation with people you might fight in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. The first trip, everyone was kind of, all the bigger guys were kind of like not wanting to train together. So, you know, the first trip, we didn't really do too much cross training. It was me and Dan that trained together most of the time. And then once we went back for the second trip, I think most of them were kind of like, well, you know, the only chances we're going to see each other is in the playoffs. So we'll go ahead and, you know, go ahead and start training together. So we, you know, we got some good rounds in with Tom Lawler and Corey Hendricks and stuff like that. So it was much, like I said, it was much better. The second trip all around was just better. Everyone was kind of, I think we were all well prepared for what we were going into the second time. The first time, man, was just a, in all words, it was a shit show. You know, I mean, the bubble was kind of like a, not really a bubble, you know, to an extent. You know, one day we had like a whole wedding party that invaded our space that we were like, was supposed to be blocked off for us. And just like crazy random stuff like that. So it was a bit challenging. I mean, the weight, trying to get the weight off while he was there was tough and stuff. So, yeah, luckily Bellator is only, you know, 6 or 7 days long. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that.
Anything you'll take away from, you know, that experience in the PFL bubble to this belt? You know, obviously in that situation, you're there helping a teammate out, where now all the attention's on you. I mean, will be there something you take from that and say, you know what, this is how we're going to kind of structure fight week?
Yeah. So luckily, like I said, you know, we're only going for like 6 days. So that's kind of like the tapering off of the training anyways, you know, unlike 19 days where you're still in fight camp, you know, so I'll probably bring my Xbox with me. We're going to be there for, you know, 6 days. I'm packing all my food with me to go, you know, just stay on my diet plan, because, trying to, you know, eat your macros or stay to a strict diet plan when you're either ordering food or eating hotel food, which is, you know, not much better than like a leveled up catering service, you know, and, food. I mean, they had fish. They either had some kind of fish, beef, and chicken every day, but all of them either had like some kind of gravy or sauce or just like random stuff that like these guys probably shouldn't be eating to cut weight. You know what I mean? Which is probably explains why, you know, they had several fighters miss weight for PFL during those, that especially the first 19 days that those guys did. So, yeah, that was an experience, man. A lot of people compared it, something like Dan compared it a little bit to like, kind of being on the Ultimate Fighter to an extent. You know, you can't go anywhere. Although you're allowed to have your phone and stuff like that, it's kind of like a hotel jail.
You know, of course, you mentioned about when your manager, Jason House, gives you a call and mentions Eblen, you were not aware of who Johnny Eblen is. I mean, obviously, I've been aware of Johnny Eblen now for a couple of years, of his rise up here. He's coming off a great win against Daniel Madrid. I mean, when you got in front of the computer and you started watching Johnny Eblen, like, was there something that, like you remember right to this point, the first thing you remember when you saw his abilities that just stuck out to you?
Yeah, he's an explosive striker, man. He likes to throw big shots. He likes to go and more importantly, if he gets you down on the ground, man, he goes kind of berserker on you. You know, he just goes crazy trying to get the finish. And you know, obviously, he's a D1 wrestler. He's got that in his back pocket. So whenever he gets in trouble on the feet, he usually goes right to he goes right to his wrestling, which is pretty normal for guys who have that high level wrestling background. You know, after doing a little bit of research, you know, I knew that he's down at American Top Team. He trains with Dalton Rasta and Austin Vanderford. All those guys are undefeated. They're all in the same weight class. You know, I've gotten training with Dalton and, you know, I've jumped around and gotten a lot of training with a lot of different people. So, and I've fought Division I wrestlers before. I feel good about this matchup, honestly. I mean, I know he's, you know, 8-0, he hasn't felt the defeat yet. You know, he hasn't had to go through that. You know, I'm looking to hand him his first loss for sure.
You know, in terms of, I mean, we just found out about this fight a couple of days ago. How long have you actually known about this one?
Oh, man, I've known for 2 weeks, man. They send you the contract, and I signed the contract, and then I, I had to wait like 2 days, and I messaged Jason. I was like, hey, you know, is the fight happening? Like, am I waiting on him to sign now? Like, what's, you know, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, we're waiting on him to, you know, to say he's in. And then the next day he messaged me and he's like, well, he's in, we're good. And I, and then, so they're sending me all this stuff. Like, I had to go get, you know, in Ohio, Ohio as a pro, you're only required to do your eye exam and your blood test, right? So I get the medicals from them and they're like, you know, I leave July 11th to go out there and they're like, well, you got to get, an MRI, an EKG, new blood work, new eye exam, new pre-fight physical, see a neurologist. I was like, Jesus, how am I supposed to get all this done in like 13 days, guys? And then the whole time I'm trying to scramble to get all my medicals done, I'm wondering like, are they ever going to announce the fight? Is this really happening? You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell anyone. That was the first thing in the email, you know, you can't tell anyone that this fight is happening. And I was like, that was the most stressful part, to be honest with you. I'm sitting there like stressing about getting all my medicals done and all this stuff. And then I'm like, I don't even know if this fight's really real. You know what I mean? Like, I know I signed a contract. I know Bellator, you know, employees have reached out to me about information and stuff, but you know, no one's announced anything.
In terms, I mean, obviously I'm very familiar with Mike Mazzulli who runs the commission up there, and I'm very well aware of all the medical testing that goes on. Like, I feel like that's the one thing that when, you know, the common combat sports fan, you know, they're tuning in on a Saturday night, you know, in this case on a Showtime, you know, they just don't realize, like, you get that fight booking, you sign that contract, then it's all of a sudden, okay, all right, I got to go to this doctor here, this doctor there. Like, was it at least all local for you?
Yeah. So it was a bit stressful. Actually, yesterday I went and got my MRI done, and the whole building lost power while I was in the middle of getting the MRI. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, that's it. I was only in there for like 3 or 4 minutes, you know, and they told me it was going to take 30 minutes. And so they pulled me out of the machine and they're like, yeah, we just lost power. So we're going to have to send you somewhere else to get your MRI done. And luckily they had another place that does the MRIs across town, and they had an opening at 1:30. Cause I was like, yo, I'm kind of on a time constraint. And they were like, well, you know, we're closed tomorrow. We're closed Monday for 4th of July. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, am I even going to be able to get these done in time? So, yeah, that part of it has been stressful, but, luckily I was able to get all the medicals done. I'm waiting for the doctor to get the results for the MRI, and then I got to go and do my pre-fight physical and then I'm set to go for all the medicals. So yeah, that part was, like I said, was been the most stressful, but in a way I haven't really been thinking about the fight so much, cause I've been thinking about, you know, just, going and getting all the stuff done to get to the fight. So, happy that stuff's over with for sure.
You know, you mentioned about you were previously scheduled to fight for Ohio Combat League. In terms of the change up in opponents, how did it have a drastic effect on, yeah, you know, who you were working with?
Yeah, no, I kind of bounce around to gyms every once in a while and I make sure I'm getting different looks all the time. So I'm not used to that same kind of repetitive cycle where, you know, like I know what I'm comfortable with. I know what he does and stuff like that. So I usually go and bounce around to get different looks to get outside of the comfort zone. You know, this kid, Eblen, is a way different fighter than, Tim Hiley, who I was going to be fighting. Tim doesn't have the pedigree of the wrestling pedigree background. Tim's, you know, more of a striker. He does grapple, but not like, not high level wrestling grappling. So, the mindset has changed a little bit as far as the game plan on how to, you know, to beat Eblen. Compared to how I was going to fight Hiley. But, you know, like I said, it's, I fought Division I wrestlers before. And I'm pretty confident in what I can do and what he has to offer. You know, I feel like what I'm good at kind of is going to negate some of that wrestling. You know, I have good defensive wrestling. I have good jujitsu. And I don't stay on my back very long. If you watch any of my fights, if I get taken down, I get back up, you know? I'm looking forward to standing out in the center of the cage, making him exchange hands with me, you know.
I think you understand that, you know, people are going to look at this fight and they're going to view you as the underdog.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you love that role?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, obviously, Eblen, his last four fights have been for Bellator. He signed with them when he was 4-0. You know, they've had I don't want to say he's had good matchups, but he's had favorable matchups, yeah. You know, up until his last fight was probably, I thought was going to be his tougher fight, but he ended up catching him with that Masvidal switch stance, overhand, right, left hook, right hand. And, you know, dropped him and then just pounced on him. So, I think even though I'm coming in as the underdog, I think I'm going to be a step up in competition for him from what he's had in his last couple fights, minus, you know, his last guy that he clipped and starts in about 2 minutes. So, I like being the underdog. Obviously, he's their blue chip prospect, 8-0, undefeated, ranked number 5 for Bellator. You know, if I come in there and take out the number 5 guy, I'm, you know, cementing myself in the middleweight division as a contender in Bellator.
So how quickly did you look at those Bellator rankings when you signed off for this fight?
So as soon as I figured out where he was training from and stuff and where he's at, I was like, man, I'm probably going to end up fighting the whole team. If I beat Eblen, you know, I'm going to have to fight Ralston next or Vandenberg next, you know? So, you know, I was looking at the rankings and knowing that he's the number 5 guy, you know, that just excites me even more to go in there and, you know, make a name for myself. I've been sitting here fighting in the regional scene for a long time and, I've been waiting for this phone call. So this is exactly, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for me to come in and, you know, change his 0 to a 1.
I am a voter in the Bellator rankings. I'm trying to think on the top of my head where I have him at. And I mean, he's obviously in my top 10. I'm, you know, sometimes when I see those, when the rankings come out there, in fact, I'm, you know, if there's like a major change, I'm like, okay, where did I put that fighter at, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I guess you look at this middleweight division. Like, you know, obviously you're familiarizing yourself with it, you know, of knowing what the future could be here for you. I mean, do you have an overall view of this division?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I don't want to say I've been thinking about that too much because I've really been kind of focusing on Eblen. You know, I got to get through that fight first before I want to set my eyes on the middleweight division in Bellator. But obviously, like I said, if I take out a number 5 ranked guy in Bellator, I would assume that has to put me in the top 10, you know, you know, they have a lot of their guys are younger in the middleweight division. Obviously, the top 3 are, you know, the older guys who've been around for a while that have been to the UFC and then Bellator, you know, then now they're in Bellator and stuff like that. But the younger guys, you know, they're up and comers, you know. So and when I say younger, you know, they're probably all of them are every bit of 5-6 years or younger than me. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's I think this is a perfect opportunity for me to, again, submit myself in the middleweight division in Bellator and get that multi-fight deal and start making some real money, you know?
I know I saw you just celebrated a birthday last month. So was this like a, you know, right after birthday is when you got the call for this one?
Yeah, it was pretty much, let's see, my birthday was June 16th. And then I got back on the 19th. We had a birthday party at my house. And then it was the following Monday I got the message about fighting Johnny Eblen, and I was like, abso-freaking-lutely, let's do it.
You know, and so, I mean, obviously with this fight, does this kind of put boxing on the back burner at this point?
Yeah, for now, for sure. I would be lying if I said I'm not, if I go out there and beat Johnny and they say, I want to sign you to a multi-fight deal. I'd be lying if I'm not going to ask him to put a clause in that contract to see if I can still box outside of the promotion, you know? I doubt they'll let me do that, but, I'm 5-0 in boxing and, I was actually just told I'm 1 win away from, getting an NABA title shot.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I'd love to keep pursuing the boxing if I can, but you know, we'll see how that plays out with Bellator and what they want to do and everything else.
Is it tough to juggle both of those, you know, going from an MMA matchup to a boxing matchup and vice versa?
No, I think the biggest thing is just understanding the different rules and, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, I box all the time. You know, I box as part of my training for MMA. It's different in the aspect of, first of all, the training's completely different. Boxing's way easier, to do than MMA. You know, I'm not getting beat up. My legs aren't getting kicked. My body isn't getting kneed. I'm not getting elbowed. I'm not getting, the grinding wrestling practices and the grappling sessions, you don't go through that. Boxing, you know, it's you hit the bag, you hit the mitts, you do your sparring, you do your jump roping or your road work, you know. If I actually ran into Clarissa Shields when I was in New Jersey, and we were both over on the elevator on the way up, and I was like, I was like, hey, you know, I just had my, I just, you know, I was getting ready to have my 5th pro boxing fight. And no, actually, I think I just had it. I just fought my fifth pro box fight and won. And I ran into her, and I was like, "How do you compare MMA training to boxing?" And she just goes, "Not even the same." I was like, "MMA is a lot uglier, right?" And she goes, "Yeah, that's the best way to describe it." She goes, "Boxing's pretty, and MMA's ugly." And I was like, "Yeah, that's. I mean, that's the only way you can describe it, because MMA, boxing is, you know, you look good hitting mitts, you look good hitting the bag, you look good jumping ropes and running." But MMA is just ugly, man. I mean, it's a dogfight all the time. The training of it, you're constantly pushing yourself and your body to the fullest extent. And so, yeah, I think juggling it back and forth is easy for me. But, I mean, other people might struggle with it. But if you want my honest opinion, there's a lot of MMA fighters at the top level that don't know how to box. You know, they don't know how to strike. MMA striking compared to boxing is way different. You got smaller gloves on. People like to throw big shots because it only takes one to knock somebody out. You know, in boxing, you have to, it's more of an accumulative amount of strikes. You know, you're going to have to throw, you know, 100-150 punches in a round maybe to win or to finish a guy. MMA, it might only take 3 or 4 punches to put somebody on their ass.
I'll end on this with the Carissa Shields. My biggest takeaway from that fight, and I mean, everyone's going to say, oh, she was taken down. But my biggest takeaway was I didn't see a boxer in an MMA fight panic on the ground.
Yeah, that, I mean, so I was there in the crowd. We got to sit and watch that fight. And yeah, I mean, she didn't panic. I mean, she could have put herself in a lot worse positions when she was on her back, you know. But obviously, she's got a lot of work to do as far as like learning how to get out of those positions better. You know, because obviously the first 2 rounds she spent on her back with the girl in mount practically. And, you know, she just like she needs to learn how to do a little bit more of the hip bumping, controlling the upper body of the person when they're on top of them, trying to get them off. But I mean, like you said, for coming over and never fighting MMA and being on one of the biggest stages there is and taking your first professional fight, first professional MMA fight. Yeah, she handled herself very well. I mean, she came out in the 3rd round. She knew she was down 2 rounds, and she got the finish, you know. So, I mean, you can't ask for anything more of a fighter as a coach, you know, to survive, weather the storm, and then she came back and got the finish.
And then that hand speed that you saw, especially on the mat, it's just like, whew. There.
Well, it's funny because she is a professional boxer and an Olympic gold medalist, and she comes out, and the first thing she throws is a big overhand right. And I was just like, I bet she doesn't use that very often in boxing, but in MMA, it's there. You know what I mean? Like you're going to those little gloves. Like I said, you only need to touch somebody one time, and she's got the power and speed. She's definitely, she tightens up her wrestling defense because I don't think she's going to learn jiu-jitsu fast enough to compete with a girl like Kayla Harrison or some of those other top level Pachecos or any of those. But she can, if she learns how to use a whizzer, use a frame, keep people off of her hips. Yeah, she's got a good chance of knocking anybody out in that ring for sure.
Yeah, Kayla's just a different beast.
Yeah.
I
honestly hope Kayla finishes out this season, wins another belt, wins another million, and then decides to drop down to 145 and get into the UFC, man. I just don't see PFL finding enough raw talent at 155 to give her a real run for her money.
No, I mean, I was talking about this on my show the other day, and I said, you know, you look at her post fight interview after her win against Cindy, which was just, I mean, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And she had the body language to me came off as an Olympian who's like, I just want somebody to challenge me.
Yeah.
It just feels like she just doesn't feel challenged right now.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, and then her challenge is at ATT on a day in, day out basis.
But yeah, she's getting way more work down there than she's going to get in PFL. You know, there's a lot of tough girls that go down there and train at AT&T. And I just don't think, if I was her, I wouldn't be satisfied fighting those people when you're up here and everyone, your competition level's down here. Why would you want to stay in that area? And well, you want to be the dominant, you want to be the best fighter and, you know, beating people who aren't on your level, you know? So yeah, I'm sure she's going to look for the next best challenge. And I mean, honestly, if we look at the other top promotions, the UFC is the only one that's really going to offer her, you know, maybe Cyborg and Bellator. She might, you know, that would be a fun fight to watch for sure. But I just don't think she's going to get challenged there at PFL.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. To me, it's either you go to Bellator to fight Cyborg, or you go to the UFC.
Or Ronda Main. You know, those would be those are the fights that I think the people want to see. And I mean, she takes a lot of flack. If you look at the Instagram posts on PFL and stuff, man, they're all good job on beating a tomato can and blah 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 blah. And just like, you know, she gets a lot of flack for it, but it's not her fault, man. That's PFL's job to get her the talent she needs to compete to make it in an exciting fight, you know?
Yeah, it's not an easy job for PFL to find opponents for her, but we do look forward to seeing your matchup here July 16th. Opening fight on Showtime. Were you aware of that when you got the fight?
No. So again, you know, they just announced it yesterday, and I got called last week, and they were asking me questions about, you know, stuff they could talk on, you know, TV about. And he goes, so how excited were you when you found out that you're going to be on, you know, the main card? And I go, well, I guess I'm pretty excited because I just found out, you know. Thanks for letting me know. And so, yeah, man, it's exciting, dude. You know, I've waited a long time for this to happen. And, you know, I got to say, I feel pretty lucky to be able to make my debut for Bellator on the main card in the big show. You know, I could have been, you know, maybe I would have got signed a year or two ago and been an undercard guy and fighting on the undercards for, you know, a couple years and stuff like that. But instead, I'm going right to the top. They're giving me one of their top guys, and I'm looking forward to the challenge, man, for sure.
And it all goes down here July 16th there from the Mohegan Sun. You can watch Travis fight the opening fight on the main card on Showtime. Travis, always appreciate the time. Of course, let me know anything for you on social media. Anything else you want to mention, man?
Yeah, man, you can find me on social media at TBamBamDavis. And then those are, you know, that's my Instagram account. It's linked to my Facebook and so Twitter, so they can find it from there. And just want to give a shout out to, obviously, Iridium, my sports agency, for hooking me up with this fight. And my sponsors, Subzilla, Atlas CBD, the training room, Central Iowa Spine and Joint, all those guys for taking care of me and making sure I'm ready to go for the fight on July 16th, man.
And that was my conversation with Travis Davis. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his Bellator debut coming up here in 2 weeks at Bellator 262, taking on Johnny Eblen. That'll be the first fight, a part of the main card. Great story that he told there at the end of our conversation about how he actually found out he is going to be the opening matchup there on the main card there on Showtime. Of course, it's a fight card that's going to be headlined by Juliana Velasquez, making her first Bellator flyweight title defense, going to be taking on Denise Kielholtz. Of course, we all know that waiting for the winner will be Liz Carmouche. Scott Coker said last week, following that quick knockout victory that Liz Carmouche had, that she put the stamp down. She's next here. She's going to get the winner of this matchup. And of course, it'll be interesting to kind of see how does Juliana Velasquez handle the striking abilities there of Denise Kielholtz. Also, this fight card, interesting heavyweight matchup between Tyrell Fortune and Matt Mitrione. Of course, you know, Tyrell Fortune had an opportunity to get that step up in competition, you know, back last year against Tim Johnson, unable to get the win, losing there in the first round. Since then, going unbeaten 2-0 with one no contest. And of course, on the other side of the equation for Matt Mitrione, he is looking to snap a 4-fight losing streak. Matt Mitrione has not gotten a win since that majority decision win against Roy Nelson at Bellator 194. And so I remember, man, that's, yeah, you're talking over 3 years ago has been, you know, since then, the loss against Bader, no contest against Kartanoff, the loss against Kartanoff, and then the loss against Tim Johnson. Of course, this fight was initially scheduled between Mitrione and Fortune to take place back in April. However, Matt did pull out of that matchup, so they will now meet here at Bellator 262. Some of the other fights that stick out to me in terms of this fight card, I mentioned about Cody Law. He is definitely someone that sticks out to me. You know, and also, you know, how does Arlene Blinko bounce back here, you know, after that loss against Chris Cyborg, where of course Chris looked absolutely tremendous in that matchup. Of course, I will talk more about this fight card here coming up the week of that matchup. Of course, you know, this will, coming up this week, we will have UFC 264. Myself and Daniel Galvan We'll have a preview podcast on Wednesday to get you ready for UFC 264, headlined by Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. I did see a very interesting stat on trilogy matchups in the UFC, where there has been 12 trilogy fights in the UFC unified rules era. 8 of the 12 saw the fighters tied 1-1 in the series heading into the third fight. The winner of the second fight has gone on to win 6 of those 8 trilogy matchups, which was very interesting. I was actually checking out the DraftKings salaries the other night and checking out the betting salaries in this one. Of course, as I record this show here on late Friday afternoon, Dustin Poirier over at BetMGM, a -120 favorite, over at DraftKings Sportsbook, -115 for Poirier, -106. I mean, you know, you look across the board, we just go over to best fight odds. I mean, this is, you know, essentially, you know, Poirier, you know, for most books, just a slight favorite. There, the highest price that you're going to get on Dustin Poirier, -127. The best price that you're getting right now is +107 over at 5 times. So interesting. Looking forward to breaking this one down with Daniel later on this week. Of course, you know, in terms of UFC 264, very interested to go at Burns versus Steven Thompson. That is one matchup that does stick out to me. Also, in the this fight should be hella fun, Michelle Paheya Freya and Nico Price. That should be a hell of a fun matchup there. Looking forward to seeing those two guys go out there. I just don't think Nico Price has got his DNA to go out there and have a boring fight. Of course, we see Michelle Paheya and the just the capoeira style that he brings and how fun he can do. So that is going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report Podcast. As always, appreciate taking time out of your day to download and listen to this episode. Next episode will come out on Wednesday as myself and Daniel Gavon will get you ready for UFC 264.